The Director Podcast, episode number 8, March 15th, 2006. Hey everybody, this is Skip, and I'm here to discuss everything director related. That's right, a podcast finally dedicated solely to the software that you love to use. Hey, all of you out there in Director Podcast land, welcome to the Director Podcast, episode number 8, this beautiful March 15th, 2006. This is Skip Kimple coming to you live from the Magic Gate Software Studios here in sunny Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And boy, do we have a show for you today. A lot of you commented last week on the show that we had, the interview with Tom Higgins. We broke some records there. As a matter of fact, it was a huge success, and we broke our single-day download record along with the a record amount of bandwidth. Let me tell you, we served up a ton of bandwidth this past week, but the comments were well-received, and Tom, thank you once again for that interview. The audience definitely did enjoy that and enjoyed hearing what you had to say about the future of Director. We have lots to cover this episode, but first of all, let me tell you, you can find us on the internet at www.magicgate.com/podcast. You can subscribe to our show there. You can find our show notes. You can listen to previous episodes, yada, yada, yada. So go visit us online at magicgate.com/podcast. This episode, we have a very interesting interview with Gretchen McDowell from UpdateStage.com. Many of you know who she is. Well, she's a little shy to come on the show and do a telephone interview with us, so she asked that we email the questions to her, so she responded to us with her answers via email, so we'll be reading that a little bit later on towards the end of the show. Let's see, what else do we have here? Oh, we just wanted to announce a couple features coming up in future episodes. This is episode number 8. 2 episodes from now, which will be episode number 10, which will be at the end of the month, we have an entire episode dedicated to Impressario from Integration New Media. We're going to have some people from Integration New Media talking to us, along with some of the contest winners that were part of the Impressario contest that they ran last year. And following that, episode number 11, we have an interview with Gary Rosenzweig. Man, that interview is almost an hour long, so that's going to be an excellent episode. He had a lot of good stuff to say. He's a very interesting guy. So we have lots of good stuff in store for you. Of course, we have a few more interviews already in the bag, which we'll announce as the time comes closer. And we're eating up so much bandwidth. We have so many listeners now. We're going to have to commercialize a little bit here and introduce some advertising from some sponsors, which is fine. I'm sure you guys don't mind. These will be industry-related sponsors. We got to pay the bills somehow, so bear with us on that. I know podcasting is all about freedom of speech, and it delves away from traditional radio, but like I said, still got to pay the bills. So we're going to try something a little bit interesting with our advertising techniques, and I'm going to tell you about that in just a second once we get into the news.
In the news.
Starting off in the news, today we are going to talk about the update that was just made available yesterday from Adobe. This is the Shockwave 10.1.1 Reversion 16 update. And yes, it is now available. Tom Higgins announced it on his blog, I believe it was yesterday, March 14th. And I'm going to read you a little bit here from his blog entry. So those of you who have not seen this announcement yet can learn a little bit more about it. By the way, the Shockwave Player update is available now from the Shockwave Player Download Center, and I'm going to make links available to this in our show notes. This update release features a new Flash 8 asset extra that allows the use of Flash 8 authored Swift assets. In addition to providing support for new Flash content, the updated extra also now exposes a new Flash object's top-level function, as well as a Flash sprite method that allows you to convert image and certain data types between Lingo and ActionScript formats. What this does is it now allows director-authored content to grab images directly from a flash sprite, and that's imaging of direct-to-stage flash sprites, or to pass images back and forth between director and the flash asset extra for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is so that Lingo developers can utilize the new filter effects present in Flash Player 8. They have also created a documentation addendum that discusses the new abilities surrounding the Flash 8 asset extra, and you can look for that addendum at the Director Support Center in the next few days. So once again, I will make a link to that as well on our show notes. He continues to say, in addition to the new Flash 8 asset extra, the new Shockwave Player update contains a bug-fixed QuickTime asset extra with notable focus having been placed on addressing issues with QuickTime Virtual Reality, the QTVR, usage in Windows. With this release of the QuickTime 7 player for Windows, a number of bugs popped up with the respect of QTVR sprites, and so they had to address those. Unfortunately, there are still a few outstanding issues that they will have to resolve in the QuickTime Asset Extra, so they'll continue to work the fixes and post updates when they are ready. Oh, let's see, what else does he say here? Beyond the new Flash and QuickTime Asset Extra, the update features a smattering of other bug fixes around the player, including a few security-related issues that required addressing. They will be updating, once again, the Director Support Center with new and updated tech notes, along with download files, so that you folks can update Director authoring with the new files as well. So, that's good news. They are actively working on things over there. They're working on bugs. And on his blog, I see there's quite a few questions and comments from users in regards to this new release. So, you definitely want to check that out. And you can find his blog, once again, at http://weblogs.macromedia.com/T Higgins. That's T-H-I-G-G-I-N-S. So that was the big news that splashed across the website just yesterday. So make sure you get that update and you check all of that out. Let's see. Okay, in our opening comments, I announced about advertising, which we are going to be doing on the Director Podcast, as well as the Kiosk Podcast. What we're doing, we've posted a media kit for all of you interested in advertising on the Director Podcast. I know this certainly doesn't apply to most of you, but those of you that are listening that are extra developers, Adobe, for instance, that wish to advertise on this podcast, which is an excellent way, might I say, to get your news and information about your products or your services across to thousands, well, not quite thousands. We have probably about 1,300-1,400 listeners at this point. But these are diehard Director fans, and this is a very niche market that you, it's very rare that you can hit a market like this, then you can get your word across about your product to all these people. Anyways, enough about that. We are going to be doing an eBay advertisement. Those of you familiar with the success that Rocket Boom had, obviously, Rocket Boom's advertisement went for, I think it was $40,000. Hey, if somebody wants to pay me $40,000, I'll take it. That's fine. But we're not quite reaching that high at this point. But this will allow you to get into our advertisement program at a fraction of what we're asking for in our regular advertisement schedule, which will kick in here probably in about a month and a half or so. So this week, we're running the bids on eBay, and I'm posting a link right now to those bids, and I don't think it's quite posted yet. We just posted it this morning. I'm not sure if it's in the eBay directory, but I'm going to give you the item number, and you can just punch this in your search, and it will pull up the auction. It's 5677629533. So if you're interested in advertising, hey, jump over there, start bidding, and get your advertisement here on the Director Podcast. Enough of the plugs. Let's get into some more news. We would like to announce once again that our monthly contest is going on, which is the most unique application that you have written with Director. And once again, we will take the best scored projects and we'll post them on our website. We're not going to post the projects. We're going to post the winners on our website. I take that back. I said winners. We only have one winner. We're still a little scarce of contest entries. I think we had two more come in this week, but we definitely need some more entries out there. So don't be shy. Even if you don't think it's unique, let's say you're a diehard programmer and you just think it's a boring program, we might find it unique. Who knows? Send it to us. And you can send it to us via mail and send it to Magic Gate Software. And the address is 757 Southeast 17th Street, Suite number 103, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33316. Now, we will also be accepting a executable file, but please put this file someplace on your server and send us a link that we can download this file. And once again, we will accept software written for the PC or the Mac. We can look at both here. And the winner, what does the winner win again this month? Well, the winner will win their choice of the Word Wrangler Extra or the Firefly Lite Extra, compliments of MediaMacros.net. Chuck Neal over there was kind enough to offer up your choice between these two extras. So get your entries in. And the two entries that we received this week is Walter Last, sent in a interactive children's book, which is very cool. And Graham Salito sent in a 3D mesh controller application. That's very cool, too. Definitely send in your entries. There's plenty more spots to be filled here. Remember, you have until the end of the month to get your entries into us. You know what? It's interesting. We have quite a bit of 3D stuff coming in, and maybe it justifies a monthly contest for, I don't know, maybe the best 3D application or the best 3D content. That might be an idea. There's definitely a very strong interest in the 3D aspect of Director out there. Oh, let's see. Oh, something, you know, I'm not even quite sure. Yes, I am quite sure what prompted me to do this. Reading one of Tom Higgins' blogs, he asked the question, what resources do you guys use to basically research Director, to follow the news of Director, to get information about extras, whatever. What sources do you use out there to gather this information? And he listed a bunch that he has used, and I noticed several people out there also contributed their opinion on what resources they use. So our team sat down here and said, hey, let's produce a piece of software that literally has all these links embedded in the software. And we'll make it cross-platform. We'll have an embedded web browser inside the software with tabs that you can click on, for instance, to go to updatestage.com. And also to pull RSS feeds, since that's the newest and the best thing out there for pulling news, we want to actually... I'm looking for some people out there, and I'm going to explain that here in a second. But what we want to do is basically parse the XML files and, you know, put it into some nice readable format within the software. So the whole point is you launch this small program on your computer, on either your Mac or your PC, and bam, you've got at the touch of a finger access to all the resources that are Director related. How nice would that be instead of having to go here, having to go there? I even want to go to the extent of importing. Actually, we've got a guy writing a script for us right now that will pop into a POP email account and convert emails into RSS feeds. So all those email lists out there, wouldn't it be great if you had one resource that you could just open up your browser and or open up the program and get all the latest information that's coming through the list through your email, except you don't have to have it coming in your email. You can control it as it comes into the software. I think the concept is really good, and definitely we're going ahead with this. We have the basics for it down, but we're going to need some help from the community. We really want to make this a community project. What we need right now are some experts at XML. And basically, like I said, we're going to be parsing RSS feeds into a readable format within the software. So anybody out there who wants to participate in this community project, contact me. Send me an email at skip@magic8.com, and we'll discuss your qualifications and how you can fit into this project. And basically, anybody who contributes and helps out with this project will put you in the credits for the software at the end of the software. So, you know, you will be recognized, And we'll be talking about you. And I guess throughout the weeks, we'll be talking about our experiences building this program. We want to make it very slick, very neat, very, very compact. And another thing that we're doing is we're embedding all of our, for instance, this will almost be a program where you can launch and listen to our enhanced podcast within the software. So it will read RSS feeds for our podcasts, and it will play the enhanced version right in Director. Now, I know a lot of you are saying that's impossible. QuickTime doesn't support, or the QuickTime Asset Extra doesn't support enhanced podcasts, which is true. As of right now, it doesn't anyways. But which is the enhanced podcast format, I guess, is M4A.M4A. That's the file extension for enhanced podcast. But we found a little trick to get around that, and we definitely want to embed it within this piece of software. So that'll be fun. That'll be a little bit of a challenge too. We always like challenges here. So once again, anybody who wants to participate, contact me, and we'll take it from there. And you know, the software is going to be available to all of you for free when we finish it. You know, we'll get some beta testers out there to test it out, find out any problems that might exist. And like I said, you'll be able to download it for free right from our website. So I think that's it for the news. I've rambled on long enough. And now we are going to get right into listener feedback. Man, we had a ton of responses this week, all email comments to us. There's quite a few I am not even going to read because they're pretty much all the same thing. And let me reiterate what those emails basically said. They basically said, thank you, Tom Higgins, for coming on the show and telling us that Director's still alive. I mean, that's pretty much a concise view of what those emails were saying. We probably had maybe 15 or 18 emails that basically just said that. So Tom, they did appreciate your time that you spent with us on the show. Everybody certainly did. Next up, we have a Skyped comment that came in to us from Sunil from India. And Sunil says, it's really great stuff what you guys are doing. Thanks very much. And Sunil, thank you very much. Once again, Sunil, Skype the message to us. You can Skype us your voice or text comment. Our Skype handle is Magic Gate Software. All one word, and we'd love to hear from you. Hans from Germany. Hans, you are an official friend of the show. Thank you very much for contacting us again. Basically, Hans was telling us about another dead link that we had on our site, actually for one of our kiosk podcasts. I think that was like episode number 2 or something like that. Actually, it looks like episode number 1. But thank you, Hans. And let me tell you what's going on. When we archive our previous episodes, we do get some mix-ups sometimes on the links. We try to make sure it's okay, but, you know, these Wednesday deadlines, we're really pushing it sometimes to get these shows up and the website updated and all that stuff. So, actually, it's 7 o'clock here Eastern Standard Time on Wednesday night. So, you know what? Most of you will be listening to the show on Thursday, but I can still say this is Podcast Wednesday. So there. Next up, we have a comment from Rob Barrett. And Rob says, first off, thank you for having a Director podcast. The last one in particular with Tom Higgins was enlightening. How awesome is it to be able to hear firsthand what Adobe is doing with Director? He continues to say by saying, anyways, I found your podcast via podcastalley.com. Assuming that I'm a non-iPod user, should there not be something on this page that clearly indicates that your podcast will only work with iTunes or the iPod? Or perhaps the link from this site should connect to a non-enhanced version. Your podcast is the first I've actually subscribed to, but this is all quite confusing to me. The last non-Apple listener, as I prefer to consume audio on my Nokia N91. Your comments are appreciated. Rob, let me explain what's going on. First of all, I have no idea how we got in Podcast Alley. We tried to stay away from that, actually. You know, we have such a niche market. I'm not going after the mainstream. There's a lot of negative things that go on over at Podcast Alley. So they must have picked up our RSS feed. And basically, that's what you're seeing at Podcast Alley. We didn't post anything there. They're picking up our RSS feed. And whatever's in that RSS feed, they're displaying there for you to download. So the description, all that stuff is directly from our feed. Now, the question about, you being a non-iPod user or a non-Mac user, remember, if you want to listen to the Enhanced podcast, all you need is iTunes. It's free. It's for PC and it's for Mac. So that's one way of doing it. And hopefully our software, community software project that we're going to be launching here in the next few months, that will allow you to listen to it as well. But if you want to listen to our podcast on your Nokia N91, yes, you need the MP3 file. And you can really only get that from our website, which is magicgate.com/podcast. Find the episode that you want to listen to. And in addition to the enhanced versions, we have included MP3 links for the full audio quality version. And for those of you who are downloading on a slower connection, we also have a lower quality MP3, which I don't recommend unless you really, really need to use that because it sounds like it's on an AM radio. But, it's a little extra work each week to produce all those extra files. But, you know, we want to please you guys as much as possible. We want as many listeners as possible. So whatever it takes. Now, you made a question about maybe producing an MP3 version and an RSS feed to go with those MP3 files. I don't have enough call for it right now. You can pretty much guarantee every Wednesday you can come to our website and get the new MP3. So that's probably your best bet at this point. But anyways, thank you very much, Rob. I appreciate your comments. Anybody else has a comment about how you want the show delivered to you? You know, if there's something we can change or something we can do, let me know. First of all, are you guys even listening to the enhanced version? Are you watching the graphics? Are you clicking on the links? Because if you're not, you know what? That can save me a heck of a lot of time. You know, once I get the podcast produced, I spend another, I'd say, two and a half hours researching the links, the icons, the actually producing the enhanced version of it, which is time consuming. So let me know if it's something you guys aren't using. You could save me a lot of time. Next up, we have Paul from Winter Park, Florida. And Paul says, really enjoyed the Tom Higgins interview. It made the future of directors seem more likely. On the subject and reading between the lines with a few tea leaves thrown in for good measure, I get the feeling that director may go to the direction of After Effects. After Effects comes in two flavors, with the pro version bundled with lots of great plugins. I wouldn't be surprised to see director come with a version with more plugins, and in parentheses he says Buddy API, and a jacked up 3D capability for the pro version. Actually, I think that's a pretty cool version, and maybe that is what you're seeing. I can't say I would be opposed to that, you know. Well, we'll see what happens. Thanks again, Paul, for your comments. I appreciate it. Next up is actually a string of news group postings that came. Every week I try to get the word out as much as possible. We update our website and we update a couple user forums, including the Macromedia news groups. I don't always monitor these. So, you know, if for some reason you leave me a comment on one of these places and I don't respond to you, I apologize. I just haven't seen it. But this week I noticed in particular, we had a few comments come in. I'm always worried that I'm offending people by constantly posting these updates. And I really hope I'm not. I do cross post to the Macromedia Lingo forum and the basic forum for director. Once again, I hope I'm not upsetting anybody there. That's not my intention. I'm just trying to get the word out to as many people as possible. Anyways, on one of these newsgroup listings, there was a comment, actually a few comments I'm going to read. And it says, I have to say, I really appreciate the time and effort you are putting into these podcasts. Not only are your production values a big cut above the majority of the podcasts out there, but the extras you have on your presentations give me visual cross-reference. So I'm just going to interrupt there for a second. Does that mean you are listening to the enhanced version and you are taking advantage of all that extra work we're putting into it? I hope that's what that means. I like that. Continues to say, I like your director shows so much that I've even subscribed to your kiosk podcast. And in parentheses, I've never been involved with that end of the business before. In the hopes that it might give me more insight into director. Thanks again for your time and advice. Thank you for all those comments. And actually, the continuation of that thread says, I'll second your views. Just to hear Tom give us some kind of verbal acknowledgement towards director and its future was enough to ease my fears for the product that we all love. Over-the-top emotions? No way. I, like many others, have invested far too much time and effort into Director just to see it die. Thanks, guys. Your efforts are truly valued and welcomed. Thank you. I like that. And one last thread on that posting is, good listen. I look forward to hearing more interviews, and the other news and content is good too. And that was signed by JP. Once again, thanks for all of your encouraging comments. You have no idea what that means to us. We spend a lot of time every week pumping out these podcasts, so anything positive, we love to hear. Next up, we have Mark from Lombard, Illinois, which is near Chicago. And Mark says, great podcast. I'm new to Director and appreciate this cast. I find all the information on this society very interesting. I'm also keeping my ears open to what the future holds for us, which leads me to my next question. If Adobe decides to no longer offer Director, what's the equivalent packages out there? I'm not even going down that path because you know what? Adobe is going to offer it. We got confirmation from Tom Higgins last episode. So I'm not even going to mention the other packages that are available because I've seen them, don't like them. They're not as powerful as Director. And I am definitely not a fan of them. You know what, Mark? Just stick to Director. Don't let people convince you that you should go another direction. Like you should only develop in Flash or you should find something else out there to develop. You know, it all depends on what you're developing for. But Director is the package to stick with. So I'm sticking to my guns on that one. Next up is Moshe from Jerusalem, Israel. And Moshe says, firstly, many thanks for the great live and breathing source of information for all of us Director developers who crave for a sign of life in these difficult Flash times. Just a quick word about myself. I've been using Director since the very beginning in 1988 and dread the thought of a multimedia world without it. It is like a member of my family and it has its faults. It has its weaknesses, but we love it dearly. Tom Higgins' interview certainly gave us cause for cautious optimism. Let us hope it translates into clear and present announcements soon. Two areas I would like to see developed, both in Director and in the podcast, are 3D and text support. Both have remained virtually unchanged since version 8.5. In the case of text, the situation for some of us has actually deteriorated. I'm referring to foreign language support, especially as in my case, Hebrew, which is a right to left language. In the earlier versions of Director, it was poor but passable. Today, on the Mac, it's non-existent, and on the PC, very poor indeed. The only workaround at present is the use of Impresario, which is a great extra, but that is by no means a full solution. Shockwave 3D 2 has not moved on since its introduction. Havok has disappeared formally from the software, and other programs such as Unity have overtaken it in respect of ease and use and functionality. That's a great pity because, to my mind, that is where Director has to place its major effort in the coming years. Third-party developers such as Chrome Lab and others may be the way to go. At present, however, even the most basic walkthrough, collision detection routine, etc., it's extremely lingo top-heavy. That is not the way to go if we want Director to return to the creative media fold. All your comment, links, and suggestions on these and other issues will be greatly appreciated. And Moshe, thank you very much for your lengthy email and all the things that you had to say. And you know what? You have basically confirmed that we definitely need to delve more into 3D on this show. As a matter of fact, that really seems to be a focus of our listeners at this point, which is quite interesting. So, once again, hey, he's from Jerusalem, Israel. We made another milestone there and hit another country, I think. I like that. Next up, and last but not least, we have Mark Sylvester. Now, I don't know if you remember, I think it was in episode number 2, in my weekly Director experience section of the show, I highlighted from Laughing Bird Software, piece of software, oh boy. I should have done this much earlier in the day. Anyways, we highlighted a piece of software called the Logo Creator, and we contacted Mark. Actually, we didn't hear back from Mark. Apparently, we got put into his spam mailbox or something because we wanted to get him on the show. Well, we received an email from Mark this week, And Mark says, hey, Skip, I was recently informed that you had mentioned my product, The Logo Creator, on one of your director podcasts. A customer just this morning sent me the link. I was pleasantly surprised to hear your kind remarks about The Logo Creator, and I wanted to let you know how much I appreciated your comments. I'm sorry it took me so long to respond. This particular podcast was released back in January. Not a problem, Mark. I've also since subscribed to your director podcast and have now listened to all 7 episodes. You're offering a fantastic service for all of us director users. And he continues on. Director must live. Now that I've heard Tom Higgins' interview on your podcast, I'm breathing a bit easier now. Director can compete with the big guys if you push it hard enough. Over the past week, The Logo Creator has become the best-selling graphic design title at CompUSA. Mark, that is fantastic. Since this email came in, we've been in contact with Mark, and we've bounced a few emails back and forth, and guess what? Mark has agreed to come on the show. So what I would like to do is, any of you people out there that have developed full-feature applications, full-feature software, or if you're interested in developing software of this aspect, send us an email, send us your questions, you know, geared towards Mark and his product, or, you know, in general, you know, even some marketing ideas. I'm curious as to how you go about getting your software on the shelf at CompUSA. You know, that, just good, solid marketing ideas, if he's willing to give up those secrets. I don't know if he will, but, you know, that'd be great to hear from some of the very, very successful people out there that are using Director and The Logo Creator. And he's got another product. He told me the e-cover book creator or something like that is 100% Macromedia Director. It technically is Macromedia Director, since there is no new version of it yet. But, you know, I think that's just fantastic that people are so successful with a product like Director. And yes, you know, we develop a lot of standalone pieces of software that are written in Director. It's just easier. You can do a quick, fast prototype. It's a great platform for everything. So I'm going to get off my pedestal again. Thank you, Mark, for contacting us. We'll be in touch very, very soon, because I'm very anxious to get you on the show and ask you a few questions. So I told you there was a lot of listener feedback. We're already half an hour into the show, and we just got through the first part. So let's get right on to our next section. Extra. The extra I'd like to talk about this week is an extra that we here at Magic 8 Software use almost for every project that we do, and it is the PhotoCaster Extra. And you can find more information about this at medialab.com/PhotoCaster. MediaLab produces several extras, Alpha Mania Extra. I forget what else they do. You can go to their website and find out. I'm sure we'll be highlighting more of their products in the near future. But the PhotoCaster Extra, let me tell you, I'm going to first of all put in a layman terms for you as to what it does for us. And then I'm going to go through what they list on the website, you know, all the specifications and stuff like that. Magic 8 Software really prides themselves as creating really good, cool, slick, kicking, ADA compliant, Section 508 compliant, just really, really nice, easy to use interfaces. I mean, I know I'm bragging a little bit here about our work, but you know, that's one thing that really puts us an edge above a lot of the other people. And that is due to the fact that we have some brilliant artists here that know nothing about Director, know nothing about programming, but they know everything that there is to know about Photoshop, and they are excellent at what they do. Now, the creative side, meaning meeting the technical side, doesn't always easily happen. However, this extra makes it very easy for them to create and do what they do best and allow me to import all their layers in Photoshop, you know, any way that I want to, and bring it right into Director so I can begin programming. In a matter of seconds, I can bring in a whole Photoshop file with, let's say, 1,000 layers. Not that you'd want to, but that you could literally do that, and it makes life so easy. So, you know, that it really saves us a ton of time. I kid you not. Now, let me go through their website features here a little bit, and let me tell you more about what they have to say about their product And, you know, I gave my testimonial right up front there. Create individual cast members from Photoshop layers and import Photoshop files directly into your director cast. You can also import directly to the score, which is really nice because, bam, all of a sudden you got your whole interface in the score. Their cast members, it's there. It's done already. You can preview the layers before importing. And that's kind of important because sometimes the graphical people will throw in a lot of weird extra layers that you don't necessarily need. They're, you know, tracing layers or whatever they might have been. The Photocaster Extra supports Director 5, 6, 7, 8, MX, and MX2004 and later. Works with all versions of Photoshop files from version 3 and later, including Photoshop CS2. It supports most Photoshop layer effects. It supports alpha channels in those versions of Director that support them, which is, I guess, version 7 and up. You can control color mapping, 24-bit current palette or custom palette. You can generate a custom palette derived from the layers in your Photoshop file. Text layers can be imported as text cast members, or it can come in as text. That's a very nice feature as well. You can keep layer registration, and it preserves anti-aliasing between layers. You can flatten linked layers into single cast members. You can optionally ignore hidden layers. It's got improved color reduction and dithering, dithering to a specified number of colors, arbitrary selection of what layers to import, works seamlessly with Media Lab's Alpha Mania Extra for creation of Alpha Mania cast members directly from Photoshop layers, which, you know, that's a extra I will highlight in another episode because that's another extra we use quite a bit. And most importantly, no lingle is required. Man, how much simpler could that be? And in the new version 3, it's not real new. It's been out for a while, but these are the most recent additions that they made in the version 3. If you happen to have an older version out there, it supports the Photoshop layer effects. Text layers can be imported as text cast members. 8-bit cast text cast members. Let me try that again. 8-bit cast members. There we go. Can be mapped to any palette without having to make that palette active. 16-bit cast members are now dithered. And the price for this bad puppy is $199. So, you know, that is a very good deal for something that, you know, when we consider purchasing an extra, I'm the main decision maker as far as purchasing that extra. And everybody's always cautious of how much they spend on development and programming and stuff like that and advertisement. You know, everybody has to watch their dollars and their bottom line. But one of my main considerations when making a decision is how much time is this going to save me and how does that time relate to money? And I would have to say that this extra has saved us thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars over the years instead of having to jump through all the loops that you would normally have to go through to get your Photoshop file into Director. So hats off to you guys at Media Lab. Keep up the good work, and we definitely want to see some more stuff from you and definitely continue support for the new versions of Director when they come out because it truly is an excellent extra. And once again, that is the Photocaster Extra. You try to say that 3 times in a row. And you can find them at the website at medialab.com/photocaster. Well, in last week's episode, I talked about a enhanced CD. It was an Ozzy Osbourne CD, which had some great multimedia stuff on it. This week, I had mentioned last episode that I was going to hunt down my Cirque du Soleil CD, and I did. It is the Cirque du Soleil Kidam album, which is a really kicking album. I'm a huge fan of Cirque du Soleil to begin with. And I remember when this album first came out, I bought it. I popped it into my computer, and it had all this enhanced stuff on it, and it was very, very cool. I went back and looked at it now. It still has some cool multimedia features on it, and it was definitely cutting edge for the time. There's no question about that. I ran it on my Mac. It didn't do so good on my Mac. it kept freezing, kept changing the color depth of the screen and didn't change it back. But I went and played it on my PC, and everything worked fine. And to tell you a little bit how old this CD is, 1996. Now, that's not too old. I know that. But for technology purposes, it's a little old. It was written with Director version 5. And to give you an idea of the time frame that we're talking about when this came out, in the PC side of the fence, it gives you two options. It's got a Windows 95 version and a Windows 3.1 version. So I didn't even attempt to run the 3.1. I ran the 95 version, and it runs fine. It runs perfectly. When you go into it, it's got, you know, it's basically a seamless graphic that scrolls left to right in an endless loop, and it's got all these highlights that you can click on, and it pulls up videos and slideshows. Very, very nice. I mean, like I said, this was definitely cutting edge at the time. So if you guys want to go out and play with that, I would definitely suggest getting it just for the fun factor. And it's got some great music on it that if you've never listened to any of the Cirque du Soleil tracks before, this happens to be one of my favorite shows. And I have not seen it personally, but the music is definitely on the top of my playlist and my iPod. There's no question about that. But definitely a cool program, and it's worth checking out. Once again, that's the Cirque du Soleil CD, Kidam, and that was released in 1996. This week's resource, I'm going to delve a little more into what you folks have been telling me you want to hear, and that's a lot of Shockwave stuff. And I guess I never really got into the whole Shockwave phenomenon of putting stuff on the internet with Shockwave format. And the reason, which most of you have come across, is that it's, you know, its install process is, it's interactive. You have to say, oh, I'm over under the age of 13, and, you know, it's a little bigger download than a Flash player and all that stuff. However, the power of Shockwave versus Flash on the internet, I mean, you can do a world of things with Shockwave. I'm not cutting Flash here, which I should be, but I'm not. I'm basically just saying Shockwave is more powerful for certain applications, and I think it's becoming more widely accepted in the internet market. And I think a lot of that has to do, even though Shockwave is a much larger download to install for the plugin, today's day of fast internet, broadband speed connections, it's not that big of a deal anymore. Hopefully they still will work on the whole installation process and ask you fewer and fewer questions. It would be great if we had a silent install of Shockwave. I mean, that would be, I think that would take the product right over the edge, to be quite honest with you. But I'm going to start highlighting some more Shockwave stuff, and I promise you all I'll delve more into the 3D stuff as well, because I know a lot of you have wanted to hear more information about that. But the site that I'm going to highlight this week is shocksites.com. That's shocksites.com. Basically, this site is dedicated to the search of Macromedia Director sites. And it has, you can go in there, you can post your own site. It's got categories to search from. Let me just do a drop down here to see what categories. You can search projectors and applications, screensavers, multi-user sites, portfolio, tutorial, learning, games, 3D, business, extras and behaviors, other. So it doesn't cover just Shockwave sites. Most of it is Shockwave related. However, it really is a good source for everything Macromedia Director related and how people are using that on the internet. I'm just seeing here that we are listed in here. Isn't that interesting? I didn't notice this before. The Director Podcast is in there. Very cool. And a ranking of 33. Wow. Somebody probably went in there and clicked it 33 times because I don't see anybody ranked that high. Well, thank you, whoever did that. And I'm not quite sure what that ranking does for me, but it's nice to be on that front page. There's public announcements that you can post your own announcement on the page. They showcase featured director resources and sites. So this is a very cool site to check out. Once again, it's shocksites.com. And if you really want to play around and see what everybody else is doing with director out there, this is a great place to start. Shocksites.com. Now it's time for an interview with Gretchen McDowell from UpdateStage.com. And I encourage you, all of you, that as you're listening to this, to go ahead and go in your web browser and click on or type in UpdateStage.com and go through the site as we're talking with Gretchen. Actually, this is, I don't know how this is going to play out. This is an email interview that we had with Gretchen, and this is an email interview on a podcast, online radio show. So I'm hoping this comes out okay. Gretchen's got a lot of good information to say. She was a little shy to come on and talk to us, like I said earlier on this episode, about, she'd prefer to do it via email. So that's cool with me. I just don't know how it's going to come across in radio land. So you'll have to let me know, because I have a few of these email interviews lined up. It's a great way to get information from people that don't feel comfortable coming on the show. For instance, the C-Extra guys. They have a language difficulty, but they really wanted to talk to us. So we did an email interview with them as well. So let's start off. If it works great, let me know. I want to know how this plays out to you. So the first question I asked Gretchen is, tell us a little bit about yourself and your company. And she says, for me, it all started with the Mac in the 80s. I was a traditional corporate programmer huddled in my cubicle churning out medical billing software on my terminal, which was connected to a DEC PD P11 located in an air-conditioned room that you could only enter with permission. Then the department secretary got a Mac Plus, which had an interactive tutorial done in VideoWorks, the early version of Director. I fell in love with that Mac and with the possibilities for creating what I saw in VideoWorks. I saved up and bought my own Mac Plus and Director. I think Director was at version 2 at that point. I bought a few games. There was a kid's game called Cosmic Osmo done in HyperCard, which was so unique for its time. You'd click around the screen, different animations would happen, and the story would advance depending on your choice. It was a crude black and white version of Myst, I guess you would say. I was inspired by that to try my own animations done in Director and driven by HyperCard. At about the same time I was learning Director, I got interested in BBSs, bulletin board systems, were private computers set up to let people dial them up directly by phone, log in, and post messages. There was no public internet access yet and no web. But there was this system called FidoNet that allowed BBSs all over the world to host discussions. That was my first experience with the online community, also made possible by my trusty Mac Plus. When I first started fooling around with Director and my Mac, I didn't think that it could be anything more than a hobby. But gradually, I started doing small projects for friends like product demos. I had the perfect combinations of skills at the time, and in that, I already had a programming background, and the graphic design requirements were minimal. Eventually, I got hired by a startup who wanted to create kids' games in Director. I had my dream job programming in Lingo all day long. It was around that time that the World Wide Web was just beginning to be accessible to all. I put up the Update Stage site because I was running into all sorts of quirks on the job with Director, and I thought, gee, I bet other people have run into the same thing already. If we just had a way to let each other know. Well, there was a Director forum on CompuServe at the time, but Macromedia had a different attitude towards quirks then and discouraged discussion of them there. So Update Stage started with a quirk list in 1995. I added articles shortly after that. It was basically a chronicle of what I was doing on the job, the problems I was solving. I guess they must have been common problems because the site gained following very quickly, and I was happy about that, but at the time, I didn't have any plans for making it a business. The Director community was comparatively small back then. The main source of info and contact was the DirectL list. I'd estimate that there were maybe 50 regular contributors to the list, so you really felt like you knew these people, even though you may have never met them. Through DirectL and Director conferences, I got to know some of the extra developers, and that was even a smaller group, maybe 10 people. At the time, one company handled the selling and distribution of almost all extras, and that company suddenly went out of business. One of the developers who was left stranded was Glenn Pitcher, author of Master App Extra. He came to me and asked me if I thought I could sell Master App through the update stage site. I agreed. More developers approached me, and that's how I got the extras, or into the extras business. That was in 1997. I've been doing pretty much the same thing over the past 9 years, with a shift in emphasis. My business is now mostly contract work, although I still do sell some extras. My next question to Gretchen is, how much of your time is dedicated to director projects? And Gretchen answers, maybe 10%. I decided to return to school a year ago and get a second degree, this time in computer science. As the projects I was offered got more sophisticated, I realized that I had to learn more math. It really came home to me as I was reviewing James Newton's book on Shockwave 3D. I did not have the math background to fully grasp at least a third of that book. So my primary job for the time being is school. I am learning other programming languages and finding out what they are teaching the kids these days about software development, and of course, I am taking math. It is fascinating. And believe it or not, although I'm closing in on 50 years old, I'm not the only adult student, and not even the oldest. Right now, I am taking pre-calculus. It is fun when I can apply something I am learning. For instance, there was recently a Quark report on the Lingo 3D command distance 2, where returns the distance between two points in 3D space. The report included an example of the right and wrong returns, but you have to know the distance formula to understand the bug. And dang if we didn't just cover the distance formula in pre-calc class, so I was able to understand that bug. My next question for Gretchen is, any project you are working on right now that you can tell us about? And she replies, I do some work on and off for an interesting person in England. We'll call him Bob. Bob was an air traffic control instructor for the military until he got multiple sclerosis, and eventually he was not able to teach in a regular classroom. Instead of calling it a day, Bob decided to design an ATC online training course. He chose Director to do it and learned Lingo on his own with no prior programming experience. After he got all of his course modules done in Shockwave, then he had to learn enough HTML and general web serving info to put the course up online. He has done 99% of his own work. I help him occasionally when he gets stuck on some Lingo problem or when he needs CGI work on the website. This is the kind of thing that puts me in awe of technology. It would not have been possible 15 years ago, and I think Director was uniquely suited to Bob's requirements. It was easy to learn for this sharp man, offers any media type that you can think of, and allowed him to put his work online via Shockwave. My next question was, what was your most challenging project? And she replies, I can't say that I get that many technically challenging director projects. Not because that I'm a genius, but more because the projects I get are usually sales presentations or computer-based training. How about the most unusual? Well, once I got a pure programming job converting one file format into a different file format for Exchange. So what's so unusual about that? Well, the file was a county prison admissions file, which had to be converted to a different format to be used by a statewide system. They could have used any programming language to do it, but the prison MIS guy just happened to know Lingo. He tried to do it himself, couldn't quite get there, and he came to me to finish it. They gave me a test file that had the names and social security numbers blocked out, but the individual crime histories were probably real. It was a very interesting read. And my last question to Gretchen was, where do you see the future of Director? And she replies, I'm sure this is hearsay, but I don't see the future for Director that is any different from what's happened or not happened in the past few years. It is still my favorite development environment, but it is no longer my only skill. I've come to learn that it's a mistake to put all of your eggs in one basket. If you're losing sleep over the future of Director, that's your cue to take some projects a little outside your comfort level and or to learn some new skills or languages. Hey, thanks, Gretchen, for submitting all those answers to us. And I think that worked. I really do. I think it worked out fine. If you enjoyed that, just shoot me an email. Let me know. But there are a lot of good information. I love to hear about people's experiences with Director. Where it's taken their lives. You know, Director has really become part of most of our lives. and has dictated what we do and how we think, even. It's kind of crazy. But once again, thank you, Gretchen, very much for that interview. All of us certainly do appreciate it. And that pretty much does it for episode number 8 of the Director Podcast. Before I go, let me just say, send us feedback. We want those, you know what? I'm going to challenge all you guys. I want you guys all to submit voice comments to us this week. That's right. No more of this email. Well, okay, you can send us email. But I think I'm going to bribe you. Let's see, how can we bribe you for voice comments? I know. If you call our voice comment hotline or Skype your voice comment to us, we will randomly draw one of your comments as the winner, and you'll receive a copy of Gary Rosenzweig's book, Advanced Lingo for Games. And recently, that's out of print. So you won't. It's very hard to find anymore, and you won't be able to get it in the bookstore. And it's full of great lingo game logic that actually we use all the time. Good, good stuff. I know it's written for an era of previous director, but it's still good stuff. So you know what? Send in your voice comments. We appreciate all those hellos, hi's, how you doing? Great podcast. But we also would like you guys to submit some useful information, some useful comments to us via this voice comment hotline. And we'll play them here on the show and we'll answer your questions for you. But it keeps me from talking so much. I know you guys want to hear somebody else's voice other than my voice. So our comment hotline is 954-840-3677. Or you can Skype it to our Skype handle, which is Magic Gate Software. Of course, you can always email me your comments. We certainly do appreciate that as well. Email it to me at director@magicgate.com. And remember, you can find out all about this show and all of our previous shows by going to our website at magicgate.com/podcast. And don't forget our other podcast, the Kiosk Podcast. Anybody out there who's in director development interested in getting into the kiosk market, this is a podcast for you. It tells you everything that there is to know about kiosk market. And this week on the Kiosk Podcast, we have an interview from a large software development company called NanoNation. I was able to figure out that they don't use Director to create their kiosks. They have their own internal system that they've written. Obviously, they can make more money by doing that and selling that platform, which is fine. But I'm curious to know what that software does that Director can't do. That's my challenge to them, I think. I'll be meeting up with them in Las Vegas here in April at the KioskCom show in Las Vegas. So maybe I can sit down with Brian from NanoNation and pick his brains a little bit more and see what he comes up with. Remember our contest. Our contest ends at the end of this month. So submit your contest entry and you have a chance to win either a Firefly Extra, Firefly Lite Extra, or the Word Wrangler Extra, compliments of MediaMacros.com. And coming up, we have guests on the show, Peter from Printomatic, or who is in charge of the Printomatic Extra, and also Mark Sylvester from Laughing Bird Software. So if you have any questions you want to ask either of these two, shoot them over to us, shoot us those emails, and we'll be sure to ask these two your questions. And all of you potential sponsors out there, don't forget about our eBay auction. It will be ending in a week. So hopefully next week we'll have some good news to report that we have some financial support for this podcast. And so tune in again next week to find out more about that and to find out more about the software that we all love to use. This week we have a band called Migs, compliments of the PodSafe Music Network. And what a more perfect song than a song called Perfect. Thanks again, folks. See you next week.
Everything I know is wrong, and every thought I have is gone, and every line I've crossed has led me here. If I could take it all away, wash my sins and pain today, I wouldn't change a thing if one here. I wouldn't change a thing if you aren't here. I want you to know word I write seems wrong. I know I've sang them all before, but every cliche seems too insincere. If I could stop the time, I would, before I mess with something good. I hope that you're okay with me right here. Maybe you won't mind if I stay here. I want you to know.
Listening to the Director Podcast.